بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, honored guests, dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. For a moment, I want you to think about the contact list or the phone book on your cell phone. So almost everyone has a cellular phone, a mobile phone, or if not, then you have at least a phone book or some sort of list where you keep a list of contacts. So if you think about the people on that list, there are probably a number of them who you contact regularly, some that you contact sometimes, and some that you barely contact or probably have never called them after you took their number, and maybe never will. But generally, the ones you speak to regularly, the ones that you speak to regularly are those who you either have love for, you have concern for, or you have a liking for them, but you're not able to be with them, you're not able to spend time with them directly, so therefore you spend time speaking to them on the phone. So for example, every night when I go home from here, usually I know that my parents are going to call me around 9:30 or so. So either they call me or I call them. Same thing with my wife as well. So my mother-in-law usually calls sometime in the afternoon every day. I go home after Dhuhr, she's on the phone. I had a friend once who was newly married and his wife was overseas. And he ended up spending, you know, hundreds of dollars a month speaking to her on the phone, right? Because he wasn't able to be with her. She didn't have immigration. She wasn't able to come here. So he spent a lot of money just speaking to her for hours on end. So the people that are important to us, the people who are important to us, we call them often. And the number of times that we think about them, the number of times that we call them, that we contact them, is an indicator of how important they are to us. So similarly, calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also calling Him through salah. Calling Him through prayer, through salat, is also an important indicator of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How close that relationship is with Him. So first thing we need to do is realize just how important these calls are. These calls that we make, the salat, the prayer that we offer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just how valuable these calls are. And they're so valuable. This form of communication with Allah is so valuable that Even the prophets, peace be upon them, valued this method of communication. So the prophets, alayhimu salam, were getting their communication through Jibreel. The angel Jibreel, alayhi salam, was bringing the messages from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to them and back and forth. Yet, at the same time, the prophets valued salat very much. In fact, Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Prophet Abraham, even prayed, made supplication, made dua for salat. And what did he say? رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا وَتَقَبَّلْ دُعَاءَ. That, oh my Lord, make me one of those who perform salat. So here's a Prophet of Allah. Here's a Prophet who is building the Kaaba. Here is the Prophet who is building the house of Allah, and he is making dua that, O Allah, make me among those who perform salat. And also from my offspring. So just not about himself, but also his children and his future generations. And he says, O Lord, and accept my invocation, accept this prayer that I am making. So he has built the Kaaba, he has built the house of Allah towards which all the believers will face for their prayers, right? So all the people will be facing that for their prayers, but what does he do? He doesn't make dua, he doesn't pray that, oh Allah, you know, make everyone face this house that I have built for you. Rather, he says that he wants to be amongst those who are going to offer their salah. So that's how much he values it, that he wants to make sure, and he's asking Allah, please make sure that I become one of those that turns towards you for prayer. So that's the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. The Prophet Musa alayhi salam, the Prophet Moses, His special title is Kalimullah, right? The one who was spoken to directly by Allah. So this is a special honor for a prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke directly to him without having an angel in between. So the Prophet Musa alayhi salam is traveling with his family and he gets lost in the valley of Madian. It's a dark, cold night and he sees light. He sees some light on a mountain. So he says, he tells his family, he tells his wife, he says, let me go there and get this fire so you know we can warm ourselves a bit and we can see then, because it was dark. So he goes there and he finds out that it's the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah speaks to him. And what does Allah say on this first encounter? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has an encounter with Musa alayhi salam has an encounter with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does Allah tell him? إِنَّنِي أَنَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. That verily I am Allah, none has the right to be worshipped but I, so worship me and establish salat for my remembrance. So the first encounter, the rules are sent down. That worship me and establish prayer for my remembrance. So again, we see the emphasis, the importance of salat. Finally, the Prophet Isa alayhi salam, the Prophet Jesus, who was given the miracle of speaking from the cradle. So the miracle of Isa alayhi salam was that he was able to speak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the ability to speak as a baby. And what does he say? Inni abdullah atani al-kitab wa ja'alani nabiyya. He says, verily I am a slave of Allah. He has given me the scripture and made me a prophet. Wa ja'alani mubarakan aynama kunt wa awsani bis-salati waz-zakati ma dumtu hayya. And he has made me blessed wheresoever I be and has enjoined on me salat. And he has enjoined on me salat, prayer and zakat as long as I live. Now the current method of our salat, the current method of our prayer, the obligation of five times a day, is one that was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But from these verses, it is very clear that this injunction, this obligation was upon all prophets. It was something that was given to all prophets and to all nations in the past. Though the form, the actual method of performing the salat, the prayers, may have differed, depending on which sharia, which code of law a prophet was following, as given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So over time, different prophets were given different codes of laws, different sets of rules, depending on the people that they were part of, depending on the nation that they were preaching to. So from this, we get an idea of the importance of salat, of prayer, for all prophets and all of their people. Now in the Qur'an, in numerous places, we read, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَةِ أَقِيمِ الصَّلَةِ. And not just, the translation of that is not just to offer salah, not just pray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't just say sallu, he didn't just say to go pray, offer your prayer. Rather, he said, establish prayer. أَقِيمُ الصَّلَةِ, establish prayer. So basically, what that means is, when you call someone, right, if it's like making a call, don't just be sitting there like this. Just go, okay, so don't do that when you offer your salat. When you offer your salat, when you're making that call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't do it in that way. Establish it as something that is valuable. Establish it as something that has weight, something that has substance. Now the question is, why are these calls so valuable? Why is this call, this salat, the call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why is it so valuable? So the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is narrated where he said that the first matter that the slave, meaning the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will be brought to account for on the Day of Judgment is the prayer. So the first thing that we will be taken to a task for, that we will be asked about, is the prayer. If it is sound, if the salat, if the prayer is sound, then the rest of his deeds will also be sound. And if it is bad, then the rest of the deeds will be bad as well. But why is that so? Like, why is salat such an important indicator? That the Prophet ﷺ is saying that if the salat is good, everything else will be good. If the salat is bad, then everything else will be bad. Why is that so? Because salat is an indicator of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like the quality of the calls and the number of calls that we make to someone indicates how much concern we have for them, how much we want to talk to them, how much we want to be with them. In the same way, the salat is an indicator of our relationship and the quality of the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regarding the munafiqun, the hypocrites at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who claimed to be believers, but inside their heart they had something else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالًا يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. That when they stand up for salat, when they stand up for prayer, they stand with laziness. They stand with laziness and to be seen of men. So they stand with laziness and they do it to show other people, and they do not remember Allah but little. So their salat is basically movements. You know, something that they're doing lazily, they don't want to do it, they're doing it lazily, they're doing it to show other people, and during their salat, they're not really remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much. They're remembering Allah very little. Now on the flip side, think of a very important phone call, right? So for example, it could be a job interview, it could be a radio interview, so I had to do those a few times for a job, and I wasn't able to go for the interview. So I had to do it over the phone. A few times I was interviewed on the radio for different things. And what do I try to do then? What does a person try to do in that situation? You want to be totally attentive. Right? A person wants to be totally attentive. You want to have a glass of water with you. You want to have your notes with you. You want to be well prepared. You don't want to be distracted by anything. You close the door. If you're at home, you tell your wife and the children, or you tell your spouse, stay outside. I'm busy. I'm on a conference call. I have a meeting. You don't want to miss a question, you want to practice beforehand, and you want to try to be perfect, you want to get it right. So such is the case of the believers in their prayers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. That successful indeed are the believers. And then Allah goes on and describes the believers with a number of qualities. And the first one is, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who offer their salat in a state of khushu'. Fi salatihim khashi'un. Those who offer their salat in a state of khushu'. Khushu' is the state of perfect concentration. So perfect, that concentration, that we don't allow any thoughts to enter our hearts, to enter our minds, other than the remembrance of Allah. And khushu' is to offer our salat with calmness, with serenity, with tranquility, with dignity and with humility. Uthman radiallahu anhu, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if the time for a prescribed salat comes, so if the time for prayers, for a prayer that is prescribed comes, and a Muslim performs wudu, a Muslim performs ablution, washes up properly, and then offers his salah with khushu', the state that I have just described, and bowing to Allah, it will be an expiation for his past sins. It will wipe out his past sins, so as long as he has not committed any major sins. And this is applicable to all times. So from one salat to the other salat, whatever we have committed, whatever sins we have committed, whatever shortcomings we have made, as long as there are minor sins, there are not major sins, then inshallah, those will be forgiven. So it's one thing to do it, right? So it's one thing to offer our salat, to try to offer it on time, to try to offer it regularly, and of course that is something that we should do, at least, at the very much, to discharge the obligation that we have. So if a person offers their salat, and if it's not the perfect salat, they have still offered their obligation. But it's another thing to do it properly. Right, so it's one thing to just do it to discharge the obligation. It's another thing altogether to do it and to do it properly. Now let's look at why the state of the salah, the state of our prayers, really matters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. That verily the noblest of you with Allah, the most noble amongst you with Allah, is who? Is not the one, who looks the best, not the one who comes from a particular race or anything of that sort. Rather, the most noblest amongst you with Allah is the one who is most God-conscious, the one who is most conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person who has the most taqwa, as it's called. So we think about it, you know, throughout our day, we commit sins, we commit many sins. You know, we might have boasted about ourselves, we might have shown arrogance, we might have hurt one another. You know, we start thinking that we have power, we start thinking that we are this and that we are that. Right? But when we offer salat, we come, we stand in front of Allah, and we raise our hands. We raise our hands, signaling that all parts of our body are attentive and are facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that we are leaving behind everything. We are leaving behind everything. It's like we're creating a little bubble around us. We're leaving behind everything that we have thought about, that we have done, that we are worried about. We're pushing it behind in favor of a few cherished moments in front of our beloved Lord. So for a few minutes in front of our Lord, we are just forgetting about everything else. And then, as a sign of humility, we hold our hands. Right? That's a respectful way to stand in front of people. We hold our hands. And then we recite a supplication, seeking Allah's protection against shaitan, because we know that shaitan, the devil, will always try to disturb us, especially when we are trying to worship Allah, when we are trying to come towards that which is true, which is good. Shaitan will always try to create problems, to put up roadblocks, to at the very least distract us. So we ask for protection, Allah's protection against shaitan, and we begin with Allah's name, most gracious and most merciful may He be. Most gracious and merciful be He. And when we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, when we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, the first verse of the first chapter of the Qur'an, we start the process of cleansing ourselves. Of cleansing ourselves of all the spiritual dirt since the last salah that has accumulated upon us. Right? So if somebody, I don't know how many of you actually help out cleaning at home, but if you do, and if you dust, right, you'll notice that if you dust the table, right, and especially if it's in the corner of the house or a corner of a room, after some days, what will happen? Dust will start accumulating again, right? It happens, naturally. So in the same way, dirt starts accumulating on our souls, on our ruh, it starts accumulating after every salat. So when the time for salat comes and we say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise is for the Lord of the worlds and all that they contain, we are essentially saying that the praise that we may have received from other people is not for us. Right? Whatever we have accomplished, whatever good that we may have done, it's all thanks to the ability, the understanding, the opportunity given to us by Allah. So when we say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, we are attributing all praise, everything good that has happened, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to ourselves. Because it is not us who does anything. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us the ability. It is Allah who has given us the ability. If Allah had not given us the ability, we would not be able to do anything. Then we say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most gracious, the most merciful, or the holder of mercy and the giver of mercy. And this is a reminder to us. This is a reminder to us that Allah is merciful and that we should be like that as well. Remember that hadith that I mentioned many khutbas ago, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful towards those who are merciful to others. Right? So this is a reminder to us not to oppress others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most gracious, the most merciful, and we should try to have those qualities as well. We should not in any way with our words or our actions oppress anyone else. Maliki yawmiddin, right? The only owner, the ruling judge of the day of recompense, the day of resurrection. It reminds us that we are all accountable, every single one of us, that we are accountable for every single little deed, and that no one gets a free pass. So before we do anything, think about the consequences that it will have for us on that day. So if a person offers their salat 5 times a day, these are the reminders that person is getting, and due to those reminders, their actions will start to becoming purified. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone do we worship and you alone do we ask for help. So it reminds us that nothing, absolutely nothing deserves the type of reverence and value that worship deserves. Nothing deserves the type of reverence and value and the time and our attention that worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves. Out of everything that we do, it is our worship that should be of the most perfect quality. And when we need help, and we are faced with trouble, with a problem, we always turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what it's telling us. It's reminding us, you face problems throughout your day, right? You have a debt to worry about. You have problems at work. You have problems at home. You have all these issues to deal with. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Work towards solving them, but keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us to the straight path. And this is the ultimate show of humility. Right? You're standing here, that I'm standing here, I'm praying to you, O Allah. I'm trying my best, but still I'm not confident by any means of my perfection. I'm not perfect. I am weak. And I constantly need your help and your guidance. So please keep guiding me, do not abandon me. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Guide me to the straight path, the way of those on whom you have bestowed upon your grace and that you have favored, and not the way of those who have earned your anger, nor of those who have gone astray or who went astray. So this is a reminder to us that as human beings we have choice. As human beings we have choice to choose good, to choose bad. And as a result of those choices, some in the past have earned his anger and went astray. Others were favored because of their choices and given Allah's grace. So we are asking Allah to make us from amongst those who were favored. Then one is free to choose to recite the verses that we feel most that are most appealing to us or that are most convenient. But so far the prayer has mostly been made up of words. Right? Then we start the actual movements, the bowing, the prostration, the sujood. And this is something that no human being or creation is worthy of receiving. So the bowing down, the bowing onto the ground, the prostration is something that no human being deserves. No creation deserves, and this is reserved exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the head touches the ground, the servant surrenders to Allah with love. Surrenders to the awe and the majesty of the Rabb, of the Lord, glorifying Him and recognizing his or her own weaknesses and shortcomings. And the Prophet ﷺ has said, the closest position that a person can be from Allah, from God, is at the time of sujood, is at the time of prostration. So if you have a full house, whether you're in the front row, you're in the back row, it doesn't matter where you are, anywhere in the world, when you make sujood, when you go down in prostration, that is the closest that you could be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, so normally, we would just zoom through all of this, right? Without any thought or effect. It's like a ritual, right? You get used to it, and you just get up and pray, boom, that's it. But if we prepare ourselves emotionally, if we prepare ourselves as if this is our last prayer, it may very well be. I have no guarantee that I'm going to be here tomorrow, or in a few hours. Right, I could die on the way home. So none of us has a guarantee. So if we pray, prepare ourselves first and then pray as if it's our last prayer, and we are standing in front of our Lord, then most certainly the verse will hold true where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. That verily prayer prevents from indecency and that which is disreputable. Now what we have to understand is that our spiritual lives are based on a zero-sum equation. Okay, on a zero-sum equation. What that means is, the more good we do, the more regular we become in our prayers, the better the quality of our prayers, the more acts of worship that we do, the more good that we do, the lower our level of misdeed and sins. Right? So one goes up, the other goes down. The other one goes up, and the first one goes down. So they're linked to one another. And this is food for our souls. So just like the quality of the food that we eat affects our physical bodies, right? So, you know, a person could eat junk food, they could eat, you know, high fat, high calorie foods. It will be some sort of nourishment, they'll be able to survive on it, but it won't give the desired results, right? So similarly, when our salat, when our worship is pure, it's organic, it's natural, it will have the desired effect on our souls, inshallah. So prayer done properly inculcates God consciousness, it inculcates taqwa. And as our level of taqwa, of God consciousness increases, it becomes more and more difficult to sin. And the more God conscious we are, the more nobles we are, the more noble we are in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that in turn makes it easier for us to be the recipients of Allah's mercy, mercy that we all desperately need to be successful in the hereafter. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us, give me and all of us, the ability to offer each salah, every single prayer, every single moment of our prayer, with full concentration and devotion, as if it is our last salah. Because we really don't know, right? No one's going to tell us, okay, these are your final moments, now hurry up, pray your salah. When it comes, it comes, and it comes very quickly. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. And I have a very important announcement, inshallah, after the prayer and after the announcements, we will be welcoming a sister, inshallah, into our community. She will be taking the shahada, inshallah. So I request everyone to stay for that, inshallah. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ